Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody. Steve Jordahl joins us for this half hour. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody.
I guess people on the East Coast, it's afternoon.
It is afternoon, people on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And right. Breakfast time, I think, in like Hong Kong.
I'm Tim Wildman with
what
Ed Battagliano.
They eat in Hong Kong? What do they eat for breakfast in Hong Kong?
I'm sure it's something that I wouldn't like for breakfast. But
I don't know. I've never
been. Noodles, maybe?
I've never been to Hong Kong.
I like noodles.
That's Chinese, right? I mean, it's
Hong Kong is China.
It's China now. It was British, but the British gave it to China.
But I mean, it's mostly Chinese people up there.
Yeah. Well, there's a large international contingent.
Okay, Tim. I knew they weren't Irish. It wasn't like an English.
They're Chinese people, Ed.
English is an official language, though, I think.
So have you never seen China people, Ed?
You know what they look like?
You're getting the big southern accent.
No,
there.
I'm going deep in the redneck south for that one. I'm digging that out.
From China. You say China.
You're digging something.
I don't know. You're so funny.
There's deep state.
We're going to talk about accents in just a minute from around the country, and I may have mentioned this before, and just because you've lived in a particular region of the country does not necessarily still understand all those people.
that's right. I get that a lot.
Right? Huh? You do?
People say, you ain't from around here, are you, boy?
Well, I get there are people, I'll just tell you, there's a couple of people we work with here that are from way back in the sticks.
Yes, there's deep state in Washington, D.C., right. And then there's the deep sticks
right
here in Mississippi.
And so even I have to watch their lips move sometimes to understand.
I know who you're talking about.
And I lived in the South my whole life, and I'm still going, wow, okay. Say that again so I can understand you. Anyway, if you want to watch this show, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Facebook or YouTube. Watch the show, and on Facebook, we also are posting the stories that we've been discussing and talking about. And if you want to buy some Redeem Clean laundry detergent and check it out for yourself, go to afastore.net, give it a try, afastore.net, and check it out, afastore.net. On Facebook and YouTube, just type in Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve.
Well, since we've already teased it, why don't we just
start
with this. The NBC Boston is saying that in a survey run by
WBZ in Boston?
It's NBCBoston.com. I don't know you would know. But a survey run by big travel company Big Seven, its 1.5 million social media users ranked the attractiveness of certain accents in America. Now, I'm saying attractiveness of the the paper uses a different word. You probably figure out what it is. But they say that the first most attractive accent in America, according to their list, their followers, is Texan. Number two is Boston. Can you believe that?
They're asking Bostonians?
No, they're asking the 1.5 million social media followers that they have around the country.
Yeah,
most of those would be in New England.
Most of those are New England. I'm from there.
Yeah.
And it is not one of the most attractive.
It is one of the most unique.
It is unique. I am happily married and have been for soon to be 38 years in June. If I was still single and dating, there is no way I'd go out with a gal who parks her car out
at
Harvard Yard.
No.
All right? Hey, how about let's go get some clam chowder? Not attractive,
so
and I was from there.
That gets on your nerves after a while. Is that what you're saying?
To me, it's a little bit of an abrasive accent. My wife's from Mississippi.
Right.
I think the Southern accent, you can include Texas if you want.
Right.
Southern accent's the most attractive, I think.
Well, it so happens that Texas comes in at, Texas is, now, well, let me just
Texas
say,
is not a monolithic accent, let me just say.
Mississippi is sixth, by the way. The sixth most attractive
really
accent, according to this.
And how high is New York? That's what I want to know.
Third.
New York.
Come on, New Jersey.
So Texan,
to Brooklyn,
Bostonian.
What are you talking about?
That's attractive.
Texas, Bostonian, New Yorker, Mainer, Chicago, and Mississippi are the top six.
Listen.
There are these people in West.
Who wants to go out with a girl who says, "What are you looking at?"
Ed, I'm glad we don't have stations in Boston or New York.
No, they're not talking about.
Or we'd be getting a lot of. We'd be getting slammed. How are you making fun of people?
We're not talking about the what they say.
I know,
accents.
But still.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you're good looking.
It was funny. When you travel, if you're from a region, you know, I like going to another region, hearing those people talk. I think it's funny. Are interesting, but they mentioned Texas. A person in Lubbock is not necessarily going to speak like a person from Tyler.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's different. Now they're similar probably, but they're going to be
that's
different.
Probably true up north too.
Actually, I've dealt with so many people. Especially with the tours that we've been doing for like 20 plus years or whatever, I've talked to so many people on the phone and in person from around the whole country that I can a lot of times tell you
you are good at that.
Yeah, if you say, well, I can tell the difference between somebody from East Tennessee and somebody from South Alabama.
No, I've seen you do that.
Yeah. I used to be able to tell somebody from Northern Illinois. You know, people from Northern Illinois don't speak like the people from Southern Illinois.
That's why these kind of things are just most
Well, they do have some of the states split up. 46 is the California Valley,
Valley Girl.
And 10th is Californian. But I do have a question. Maybe some of our smarter listeners out there can tell me. Parked right between number 34, San Francisco, and number 36, Ozark, is number 5, the accent that is the 35th most attractive, is hoitoiter.
I don't even know what hoitoiter.
Hoitoiter, H-O-I-T-O-I-D-E-R.
What is that?
I have no clue.
I will say this.
Brent, that's why I'm calling on our listeners.
Can
our
you Google that, Brent? Google that for us.
I will say this. I was making fun of New York a little bit. Yeah. I will say I can still make my wife's heart go pitter-patter by looking at her and going, hey, how you doing?
You can. You see?
You know what? My wife, Allison, she is, born and raised in Mississippi. And she'll tell me every once in a while she's talked to somebody up north, you know?
Yeah.
Or even out west. And they'll on the phone, and they'll want her to say something for her.
Yeah.
For them. Huh?
Yeah.
Or when we're in person. You know, we'll be eating at a restaurant. And,
yeah.
Philadelphia or something. Your wife too, and they'll say, will you say that again?"
My last year of Bible college was in California. It was our first year of marriage. I was working part time, going to school full time. My wife was working full time at a telecommunications company. She was answering the phone, and she said people all the time would say, "Hey, hang on a second," and they would put other people from the office
like they're in the zoo.
Yeah, say something southern. I want my friends to hear.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
Anyway.
Oh man.
You got an answer there for us, Brent?
All right. Yeah, what's the answer?
Should we have some hard news on this segment or what?
Yeah, we'll find out.
We got nuclear war coming. Just
I'll do it in hoitoity.
Just hold on a few minutes. We'll get to the end of the world.
I'll do it in hoitoiter accent.
Hey guys, it's spoken in very limited communities in South Atlantic United States, particularly several small islands and coastal townships in the rural North Carolina.
Okay, so it's distinct to North Carolina.
There you go.
Maybe the Outer Banks or something.
Something like that. Hoitoiter.
Yeah. Hoitoiter. You know, I watched a special one time. I wish I knew more about it than I do, but I'd like to go back and watch it again if I can find it. But it was about how the southern part of the United States was greatly influenced by Scotland because so many people immigrated from Scotland and they took ships over here. At that time, they didn't have planes.
Right.
You know? You know?
I'm following you.
Back in the 1700s, sure, I guess. Yeah. And they got off the boats in South Carolina and North Carolina.
And so that influenced the...
Well, then they tracked... So they got all these Scottish people, Irish too, I guess, but the people with Scottish ancestry. and they are moving across. They didn't go to Boston or New York. They went to South Carolina, North Carolina, and then they began to move west along that same. So they came to Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, Arkansas. And that influenced how people talk, the accent, and also a lot of the heritage and the culture and even the food. But if you look at a lot of names in the phone book, if they have phone books anymore, from people in those southern states, a lot of them have Scottish or English names attached to them. Whereas if you go to Chicago or something, you're going to have a lot of Polish names or a lot of Irish names. So you're listening.
By the way, one of our Facebook viewers said, come on now, we love country and southern accents. New York City and Boston accents are annoying.
That's really?
That's from Bob.
Right.
Thank you, Bob.
I don't give last names.
Havid Yad.
Going to park the car.
Okay. All right, Steve.
All right, Bob.
Let's park the car in Washington. Yeah. just to let you guys know what's going on right now, Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is in front of the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate. And I wanted to play you a little interchange. The Democrats are looking for President Trump's tax returns by hook or by crook. And Mr. Mnuchin.
Go back to accents.
You want to go back to accents?
Well, that sigh was a, I don't know what sigh that accent
disgust.
Was from. Yeah. I think that was universally understood.
Yes. Well, this is Chris Van Hollen from Michigan. No. I'll find
probably
out.
If his name's Holland.
Van Hollen from Senator Van Hollen was asking Steve Mnuchin about this, and can we play Trump's cut six here while you're looking there?
Doesn't Congress, as a separate branch of government, have an interest, a legitimate interest, in determining whether or not the IRS is enforcing the tax laws with respect to a president of the United States?
Mr. Senator, I want to be respectful in answering this, and I'm not trying to avoid your question, but the answer is that there is a difference in interpretation between Congress and us and the Department of Justice around this law that not only impacts this president and this Congress, but has a very big impact on every single taxpayer and weaponizing the IRS. And this is why there are three branches of government. So if there is a difference of opinion, this will go to the third of branch of government to be resolved.
So what he's saying basically, and he's from Maryland, Van Hollen from Maryland, is saying, you want Trump's tax records, we'll see tax returns, we'll see you in court.
What are they want 10 years of President Trump's tax returns. What do they want them for?
They are quoting him as saying, and he did say this, that the tax thing was a game to him. It was a, you know, you pay as few as you can by the law. He's never said he broke the law, but that he's boasted about how little he paid. They want to weaponize that into something they can make impeachable. Or
they want to find. Discredit. First of all, I don't think they can impeach him over this because
they'll ever get him.
That can only be done for something I believe that he's done while in office, but. They do want to harm his chances in 2020. Sure. I think that's what they're after. And if they can prove that he paid very few dollars in taxes, they will make him out as to be one of the one percenters, very wealthy, who doesn't pay a lot in taxes. And so, therefore, what do you want him deciding what you pay in taxes? And I think that's a losing argument for the Democrats.
I'd be for that if all congressmen and all senators from all parties did the same thing.
Did the same thing.
10 years. But give us 10 years.
But they're not wanting. This is not based on principle that the American people have the right to know what all members of Congress or in the federal government are paying. They just want to hurt Donald John Trump.
Well, you know what? I think people about figured this out.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that doesn't know he's in the 1%? I mean, really?
And he did say, I remember him saying this. He said, listen, that's the law. The laws are there. I use the laws and paid very little in taxes. Right.
The fact that I did makes me smart.
It makes me smart.
They hire the rich people hire attorneys and accountants so that they don't have to pay any more taxes than they have to.
And if Congress,
everybody does that.
And if Congress didn't like that, change the law.
Yeah.
But these hypocrites in Congress, not from both parties now, if you want to make, if Republicans want to make a big deal about President Obama's right. taxes and vice versa, the Democrats with Trump, change the law. But you're not going to change the law because you like the loopholes too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they're just, Isaiah says, they're just, this is all this is Democrats trying to find something else to make President Trump look bad.
In fact, I think I think President Trump, when he was candidate, Trump actually said that during one of the debates. I think he said, "You don't like those laws? Change them."
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. He also says, "I'm under audit."
Yes. Huh? And my attorney said, "Don't."
And
release
I, what
anything.
I can figure out is that President Trump will be under audit until he dies.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Every time he says, "I'm under," I would like to. Release those tax returns.
I remember that.
But I'm under audit.
But my attorney said not to do it,
right,
so I'm going to listen
audit.
To my attorney.
Right.
I'm just going, I think he's going to be under audit for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He says I am audited more than he used to. He before he became president, he or when he was candidate, President Trump, then Donald Trump would say, I talked to my rich buddies, and they're not audited. But every like 3 or 4 years, I'm audited like every year. You know, that's what he would say.
You're audited. I'm audited more than anyone.
That was good.
That's
I don't
funny.
That
that's great.
Little,
you're working on that, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm working on it.
Little Donald
you know,
Trump,
President Trump knows how to give as good as he gets. You know that, right? As far as he takes heat, but he gives it out. I wanted you to hear a little bit from his speech
really?
In Hackberry, Louisiana. Yesterday,
where
last
in Louisiana?
Night. Hackberry. He was at a plant in Hackberry.
I've been over most of Louisiana. I'm not familiar with where Hackberry is, but we'll look
I'll
it
let
up.
You know during the clip. Okay. This is cut one.
I'm looking at the competition. You sort of dream about competition like that, but who knows? Who knows? I got Boot Edge. I got them all. I got Beto. Beto's falling fast. What happened? Remember about four weeks ago, he said, I was made for this. He was made for it. He was made to fall like a rock. And I don't know what happened to Biden. I'm looking. I said, that doesn't look like the guy I knew. What happened to him? And Bernie, you know, Bernie's crazy. Bernie's crazy. But Bernie's got a lot more energy than Biden, so you never know. Boy, you got some beauties here. 350 million people, and that's the best we can do.
That is when President Trump is at his best.
Isn't it?
And so when the real campaign season gets started,
oh my goodness,
he's going to be, this will be his last hurrah.
Yeah.
He's going to be in
what
rare
form. What
does
he call him? Buddha, what?
Boot edge.
Boot edge edge.
Why does he say that? Well, is that what how he, it looks?
I think he's making fun of the spelling and pronunciation. It's Buttigieg.
It's Buttigieg.
So he's trying to just make something. Boot edge edge.
Yeah, that's how you kind of sound it out
that
for someone.
That's like a stand-up comic
yes,
comic routine.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
What happened?
300,
to Beto?
What do you say? 330?
I was made for this. I was made to fall like a rock. That's just good stuff there. That's probably off the cuff. He doesn't have.
Oh my goodness!
By gracious. The way, Hackberry is in far western Louisiana, right by the Texas border. It looks like it's about 25 miles from Beaumont, Texas.
That's where he was speaking.
That's where he was yesterday.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he's a great campaigner. The
Boy.
Democrats have their hands full.
They will.
I honest to goodness, I don't know. What is he, 70? How old? 73?
72, 73?
72 or 73, right.
I don't see how President Trump has the stamina. I know there are other 70-plus-year-olds who, you know, exercise and move
right.
around. And
I don't think he exercises.
He eats Big Macs,
and
he's got very strong thumbs.
Yes,
well, he must have incredible genes. Then,
yes,
because I'm talking about to have the mental capabilities to function every day as president when you're being fired at with questions.
And speaking's exhausting.
Yeah.
Now, I remember
he
when
speaks
when
a
I,
lot,
was,
and
was,
he'll go a long time.
When I was preaching every Sunday at the church
right.
I was pastoring, I get done. I was tired, you know. And when you speak a lot. There's a lot of energy. You're projecting your voice. You're moving. So
he's probably averaging one speech a day somewhere.
Yeah.
He's speaking in D.C. to some professional group or
whatever, sure.
or he's traveling
yeah.
around the country speaking. I just admire his
And remember, he
stamina.
Doesn't. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink.
Doesn't hang out with people who do.
Well, I think he does hang out with a lot of people who do.
I just said that because what was the old saying?
I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or hang out with girls who do.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, go with girls who do.
I tell you, what he does is what President Trump does. The net effect of his when he gets into the mockery, like he did right there, and the funny stuff, is that he puts these people, and it happened in the Republican primary. It puts the people he's making fun of on a they don't know how to respond, okay? Because like Joe Biden says, I'm not going to get in the mud with Donald Trump. Yeah, you are. I would say, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Huh? Because you're going to get ticked at something he says about you being Crazy Joe.
Yeah.
Or what, isn't that what he calls him?
Crazy
Sleepy
Bernie.
Joe?
Crazy Bernie and Sleepy Joe.
Joe Biden. I have a cut of Joe. This was Joe interacting with a woman on the campaign trail. And I want you to...
You better clarify that.
Yeah, he's interacting with a woman. This is at an event.
And this is
a discussion that they had. But this is Joe Biden's kind of sense of humor as opposed to Donald Trump's cut, too.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind. My biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal, and we're going to be stuck for 6 more years of this guy. And that is terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? You're absolutely right. And now they have an investigation of the investigators who are investigating whether or not Vladimir Putin and the Russians engaged in trying to affect our life. Give me a break.
So you got
Give him a break about what?
About the investigation to investigate the investigators.
Yeah,
in
they
his
don't.
Words.
They don't want
the IG report and the.
Yeah, and then William Barr appointing this.
He didn't want to get to the bottom of that.
No, he. Now, who was the woman that was
just a campaign?
She was about to cry.
Some voter. It was some general
voter.
It was
really affecting her life.
Yeah.
What is she? She's worried about what now, Vladimir? She called
her
Vladimir
Vlad.
She's into the Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump bromance.
She is.
Yes.
And the
regardless of the evidence to the contrary.
Right. And she was about to break down right there.
Yeah.
Huh?
And she apparently thinks if he gets reelected, it's 6 more years.
Well,
is that what she said?
She say six more years?
6 more years, but it would be...
Oh, no, she did not.
She did.
Let me hear that again.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind. Uh-huh. My biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal, and we're going to be stuck for 6 more years of this guy.
Oh, my goodness. These people just need to keep their mouth shut. I think a lot of them. Huh? She thinks it's a 6-year...
I don't know what she was thinking.
I think she
was thinking 2 years to the election and 4 years, but she was saying he's going to get reelected and we'll have six more years of this.
Okay. So you're giving her the benefit of the doubt.
She was upset.
It's not even two.
She was very upset.
She's triggered.
Yes.
She was very triggered. It was a microaggression to even mention Trump
right,
in the middle
his
of
his best friend Vlad. And
I just look forward to the day when it's over. If President Trump gets reelected, then I don't want to hear it anymore. Just ride out the 4 years and just be done with it.
You're living in a fantasy world, my friend. If they're ever going to stop.
I do think if he gets reelected, that's going to so deflate and demoralize people like we just heard right there. I do think a lot of them, maybe they will move to other countries.
I don't think that's going to happen. It'll make the the sales of happy pills will go up. I know that.
How's that?
All these people, Xanax or whatever they take. I don't know.
Well, they have
happy
Trump
pills.
Because they have Trump derangement syndrome.
We got 4 more years of this.
6, if you count. Well,
all those celebrities, remember, they were supposed to leave. They were threatening to leave.
Right.
If he was
so
elected,
lucky.
Then he was elected, and they decided, oh, not so bad here after all.
Greatest country in
the world. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.